And you're listening to Radio Free Cybertron. This is our first anniversary special. We thank you for listening, and we thank you for being here with us this first year. Well, we're doing things a bit differently today, because I'm at work. To get the show done, I actually had to carry the computer to work with me, and he did not like that. So, to get this all the way through, we're going to just start out here like usual, then we'll cut into the chase. On the show today, we'll have the ATT Buzz, an interview with the guys at ColdHardSlag.com, Part 3. Yes, it's finally here. Part 3 of the Transformers the Movie parody. We'll also have My First Transformer, and more. We want to mention that the new site is up and the new URL, Radio Free Cybertron, the Transformers Internet Radio Network at www.tfradio.net. Currently, the archive is only partially up at about 85%, which that's better than the 5% that we had before. Some of these shows aren't on the server yet, and those are not linked at the moment. Also, there may be a few broken links here and there. If there is a broken link, where there is definitely a link, where the file there, you get a big old 404, you can email me and tell me so that I can fix it. Also, most of the site's back up. If you notice, the new site is basically the old site. Try to, for continuity here, to keep it basically the exact same thing, just make it a little bit cleaner and easier to use. Also, I wanted to mention largearmy.com. I got an email from someone yesterday. It was a friend of mine named Bob Engel, who lives here locally. He wanted me to promote his site, and I'm doing it, largearmy.com. He has, at least the first episode is up, of an animated show that is done through stop motion with toys, kind of like, the Scramble City video, which I've not seen. But, check it out, largearmy.com. It's right there. Finally, John will get into a few things that I wanted to get into, but, we have BotCon 2001, Durham, North Carolina, about 2.5 hours from my home. Oh yes, I will be there. And hopefully we can do something for Radio Free Cybertron that would, I don't know, maybe some sort of contest or a little gathering together, or many things, we'll see. Like I said, I am at work, so things are going to be a bit different. We'll just zoom through the show, because we have a lot to cover. And I want to start things off with trivia. I don't have a clip this week, but I do have the winners for last week. The clip was from Trans-Europe Express, and the people that got it right were Emperor Desaris, Rat Trap 007, and Blue Streak 7. And now let's get the show on the road with the ATT Buzz. Here's John DeLuna.
How you doing, everybody? This is the ATT Buzz, and I don't have to waste time going over fluff this week because lots of stuff happened on ATT. Lots of stuff happened in the Transformer community, which is a great thing. Finally, we got a load of news to talk about. First up, BotCon's location for next year was announced. The dates, the time, the place. I'm sure you already know about it because I'm sure Brian hasn't stopped talking about it since this week's RFC show started. It's going to be in Durham, North Carolina, if you haven't been aware through Brian's rantings already. And I think it's a great choice. It's going to be on July 14th through the 15th. Officially, probably there's going to be, hopefully there's going to be a Friday night dinner, which I will attend. Yes, I will be there. I'm never going to miss BotCon again after my first one last summer. This one was my first one, BotCon 2000, and it was great. Moving on, it looks like The G1 re-release of Megatron by Takara is going to hit a few snags getting over here as imports because, well, a few people mentioned this on AGT, but the idea was kind of brushed off when it first came up. It's the fact that Megatron turns into a gun. A very real gun. A very dangerous, potentially dangerous replica of a gun. And I see on AGT, they've reached new lows, some of the less intelligent people saying, "Oh, this sucks, man. This is what is wrong with America, man. Taking away our toys because it looks like a gun. I can handle a gun, man." Well, yeah, you know, you might be able to act responsibly. You might be able to notice the difference between a Megatron gun and a real gun, but the cops don't, and they can't take chances. So if they see somebody running around with one of those things in their hand, they're going to act like it's a real gun. They hope for the best, and they prepare, and they act for the worst. And it's law. I mean, you can't import realistic guns. You can't import guns in any form, way, or fashion into America, even if you buy it and have it imported as personal property. I mean, if they allowed that, then there wouldn't be an illegal gun trade. And shipping it to Canada and from Canada to here probably won't work because customs are customs, and whatever comes from out of this country into this country is going to be checked by customs. And it's not the government that's the problem here. It's people who think that it sucks that they can't get a toy and that America sucks because of that. That's the problem. The problem is with people like that. They don't realize, look, you can't have everything in life. Okay, there are laws for a reason. Not everybody is rational. Not everybody is sane, and we've got to protect people from it. This is just a toy, okay? This isn't the end of the world because you can't have a toy. It's just a toy. You've got to protect society. I mean, if that means no Megatron equals a safer, happier society, well, them's the breaks. Okay, moving on into the toy realm on ATT this week. There was some more news, kind of subtle news, posted on a dealer's webpage about two new repaints for later in the Beast Machines line, probably next year at the earliest, Screechwing and Spiketail. What's interesting about those two is that 90% possibility Spiketail is a redone Stink Bomb Transmetal 2 toy, and Screechwing is a redone Sonar Transmetal 2 toy. I've kind of got a problem with this because, well, frankly, those two toys, there's nothing against them. I like both of them. Sonar's okay. Stink Bomb is one of my favorite Beast Machine toys ever because him and Transmetal 2 Spidor are dollar for dollar, pound for pound, two of the best toys I've ever had. Seriously. So I don't have as big a problem with them because, well, I've got just about every variation of him. In fact, I do. The Car Robot repaints of those two are just as good as the originals. Anyway, back to the Beast Machine repaints. The reason why I have kind of a problem with this is because those two toys are going to look painfully out of place. They don't look anything like either faction in Beast Machines. They look like freaks. They look like organic freaks, not sleek organic toys like the Maximals, not technologically advanced robots that have a kind of sleek Art Deco edge to them like the Viacons. They're just going to look out of place. They're not Dinobots. They're not Beast Machines. They're not mutants. They're just repaints, just there to be there. And if it wasn't my current situation, I wouldn't be so upset about this because up until, well, recently, I was kind of apathetic with the Beast Machine line. But that's changed. Because Thursday night, in a real what-the-heck moment, I was standing there in Toys R Us for God knows what reason. Actually, I was buying a toy for my cousin's birthday, but in a what-the-heck moment, I bought a couple of Beast Machine toys. Yes, you know, for the longest time, I had told myself that there were just too many toys in Beast Machines. And during the first wave or so, wave and a half up through Longhorn, it was true. For me personally, there were just too many Beast Machines that looked god-awful ugly as toys. forget the show. I don't like the show. But that had nothing to do with the toys. But for me, the look of the toys, the quality of the toys, just to me didn't click. And it wasn't enough to justify me buying the line. So, I didn't. But this last half, everything after Beast Machine Snarl or Ultra Jet Storm, about in that area, they started coming out consistently with toys that really appealed to me. And for the last couple weeks, I've really debated starting to collect the line again. For a while, I collected it. Then I sold off my Primal and my Mega Cheetor and Mega Tankor. But I was standing there in Target, and it just kind of clicked in my head, you know. It's dumb for me to keep telling myself not to buy these toys when there are vastly more toys in that line right now that appeal to me than don't. So I did. I said, what the heck? I'm now a Beast Machines collector like the majority of you guys out there that are listening to me right now. And I bought Night Viper and Snarl. And eventually I will have all the rest of them. But for my two new purchases, all I've got to say is these are great toys. Snarl was one of the first Beast Machine toys that I saw on the internet that I said, wow, you know, that really does look good to me. And he is great, let me tell you. His lion mode is sleek, it's detailed, it's colored well. It's a techno-organic toy, which I'm not fond of, in theory. But in reality, Snarl is basically all techno. I mean, he looks totally machine-oriented. He's sleek. He's got nice lines. His robot mode is great. It's proportional. He's loaded with gimmicks that work. The only weak point about him probably is his weapon, which is his tail. It seems if you turn into a cat or a rat, your tail is your weapon. And I've got a big problem with tail weapons. They're lame in execution for the most part. The only ones that have ever worked really for me are Transmetal Rat Trap and tails that turn into something, like original Beast Wars Cheetor. His tail turned into a gun. It worked. But if you're just going to rip the tail off and stick it in their hand and say it's a whip or an axe, please, come on, it doesn't work, all right, guys? I mean, it's just lame. It looks weak. Even in Snarl's case, where his gimmick is his hand makes a slashing motion with the axe tail, it's not enough. I mean, the weapon just doesn't justify itself. I mean, the reason it works in Transmetal Rat Trap and original Cheetor's case is the tail turns into a weapon, or it looks like a weapon. It's not blatantly a tail. I mean, it's one of those cases where Hasbro tells you, or Takara in some cases, I'm sure, in some of their weaponry, that it's a gun or it's a weapon of death because we said it is. And in cases like Mega Cheetor and, unfortunately, Beast Machine Snarl, it's not. It's a body part. You're holding your tail. You're not holding an axe. You're not intimidating me. You're holding a tail. And finally, to wrap up the buzz this week, we had more news. I told you this was a heavy news week. More news, only from the other side of the world in Japan, from Takara. We all know that Car Robots is coming to an end, like it was scheduled to do. I see a lot of people on ATT saying, well, Car Robots was a failure. It only lasted a year. I got news for you. Every Japanese Transformer line and most toy lines in Japan last only a year. The only ones that last more than a year are the ones that are exceptionally successful or become a phenomenon. And even they seem painfully stretched out after that first initial year. I mean, you look at Dragon Ball Z, even Pokemon. Lots of those just run out of fresh ideas after that first year because they were never intended to run past that first year. They were only extended because, well, the money was too good. And Car Robots, we don't know if it was a success, but just because it's ending after 1 year, you can't assume it was a failure because, I mean, that's right on schedule. So, I mean, it's doing what it's doing. Now, that's not the news. The interesting part is it looks like Takara is not going to produce Beast Machines. They're not going to port over Beast Machines. They're not even going to continue the Transformer brand name, at least not with their next toy line, and not in the near future. Once Car Robots is over, they're going for at least a year, it seems, without the Transformer brand name. They're going to a Brave-like series of robots, and for those of you who aren't familiar with Brave, basically, it's like Car Robots. It's got superhero robots, 90% of which are good guys, and you've got maybe one or two bad guy toys, which is basically car robots. I mean, that's the main problem I had with CR's lineup of toys. It was a nice lineup, if you like good guys. They had, what, Gigatron? And that's about it for the bad guys. The rest of them were repaints, good repaints, but still, no original toys. And hell, even Gigatron had a repaint. But the Cybertrons had repaints out the wazoo, too, although at least they were good and plenty and varied and brand new toy molds. Imagine that. So for all the ATT people out there, don't panic. CR ended on time, on schedule, and the fact that Takara is backing away from the Transformer brand name is probably a good thing. They can take a break from it. You don't have to worry about what they're doing over there. They can do their own thing with their own line, with their own name, which is basically what they've been doing anyway with Transformers. They've been handling Transformers and metals and car robots, those two lines. They've been handling them in their own way. I mean, they don't give a flip about basically how Hasbro did it. They took the toys, they repainted them, they redubbed and hacked and slashed the other mediums like the TV shows. So for everybody out in ATT land, just calm down. In Transformer land, just relax. Worry about the domestic toys. They're looking good. All I can say, they won me over with the second half of Beast Machines. That's the ATT Buzz, and I am John DeLuna.
Radio Free Cybertron. Unparalleled. Unmatched. Unpaid. Unfortunately. 0% profit. 100% fun. Radio Free Cybertron.
This is Goldimus Prime, back after a hiatus of several weeks, pretty much due to the lack of new toys and poor computer access, due to some personal matters. I've rectified the toy situation, and the computer situation's been resolved too. Life is good. Anyway, I got Beast Machines Megatron here, who was probably the figure I've been most anticipating out of the line ever since I saw the Toy Fair pictures of it all those months ago. In Beast Mode, he's 7.5 inches tall and has a lot better playability than the Transmetal 2 version. The smaller scale really helps to be able to more casually pick him up and just mess with him a little bit, whereas the Transmetal 2 is a project to mess with. His color scheme is mostly red, with some coppery gold bits, a translucent yellow tail, black claws, and a little green and blue. He's also got magenta knees. Anyway, articulation isn't that much in this mode. Hips, shoulders, neck has like 3 points in it. Swivel knees and hinge knees. That's pretty much all the articulation in Beast Mode. The main problem in Beast Mode is instability. His heels are molded too high to support his feet well, so the wings have to kind of fold around him a little bit to counterbalance him so he doesn't topple backwards. His tail can sort of work to make a tripod, but it's not very strong. Best to be used in conjunction with the wings to let him go back a little bit. Transformation to robot mode is decently challenging, but not frustratingly complex, and results in a very neat-looking robot. Probably the neatest part of the transformation is the way the dragon arms make the lower torso. And while there's no locking system for it, and so there's a gap in the lower torso usually, it's a very good way to get rid of those arms. The worst bit of kibble in robot mode is the dragon tail hanging off the robot arm, which you can easily write that off as an arm-mounted spark extractor. I do. He's got 14 points of articulation, well, roughly. He's got some poseability in his wings, but they still need to be folded around him in robot mode to give him stability. And his feet move, but if you change them, he tends to fall down. His dragon neck is not rubber anymore. It does, however, have a spring gimmick, which can easily be remedied. Just gotta take a couple screws out and pop a spring free. The neck then has full useful articulation to it. What else here? His spark, which is behind a blue centered panel on his chest, green. A green Viacon spark. No, that just won't do at all. When I was fixing his neck, I opened up his torso from the inside and replaced the green Viacon spark with Black Arachnia, Transmetal 2 Black Arachnia's Predacon spark, seeing as it was the only spare I had around. Which, that's a simple operation if you want to replicate it. Anything else here? Oh, Megatron is sold as a Mega, $15 price point, but he's only as tall as Transmetal Rat Trap. You figure it out. He feels like a Mega to me, though, even if he is a small toy. Let's see here. The cloak mode, the instructions call it a shield mode. Like the wings fold around him and protect him from energy blasts or whatever. It looks so neat. It just is way cool. You can tuck his feet up into the cloak a little bit, depending how you fold and twist them, so that you can't see them hanging underneath the wings. You can also move his tail, spark extractor, whatever, back a little bit, so he can stand up on the prongs of his wings. It's just really neat. His helmet is also, the Show and Toys head is dead accurate to each other. There's virtually no difference. This is just a really cool toy. I'm gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Overall, I strongly, strongly recommend you buy this toy. It's decent, and it's very, very well worth the money. I'm gonna give the whole thing a very strong 9 out of 10. This is Goldimus Prime. Hopefully we'll be back next week with another toy review, and happy anniversary, RFC.
Greetings and salutations, trans fans. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy here to tell you a little story. It's a story about my childhood. It's about when I got my first Transformer. I was but a wee little mop when I had gone with my parents shopping. I don't remember what store I was in. I think it was Montgomery Ward's. We were shopping for something. I can't remember what it was. What I can remember is walking down the last aisle of the store, where all of the toys were. And that's when I saw them. They're in different packaging, different prices, but I knew exactly what they were. Transformers. I immediately drew up all my skills and manners of coercion to masterfully manipulate my parents into purchasing me one of those Autobots or Decepticons.
I want one.
Well, I suppose so.
It had worked. I was going to get my first Transformer. Oh, what joy! Quickly, I looked around at what I wanted. Shrapnel, the Insecticon Beetle. I picked him up off the rack and inspected him.
That's $8, dear.
My mother's cheapness struck fear into my soul.
How about this one?
My father handed me a small carded blue and red Autobot that cost around $2.99. I frowned.
Lousy Jews.
Granted, I really didn't say or think that, but that's the best way to describe what I felt at the time. As much as I disliked my parents' decision, I realized that if I argued with them, I would get nothing, and it could be months before I got an opportunity to get one of those Hasbro masterpieces, no matter the design or price. I took the little Transformer home. I didn't even get Bumblebee. After being such an avid fan of the cartoon, the least I could have gotten was Bumblebee. I played with him for a few years and had gotten attached to him, despite his simplistic transformation and emotionless faceplate. Nothing like the cartoon. His rear wheels broke and his Autobot decals wore off, until he finally disappeared. I don't know what happened to him, if he ran away or if the dog buried him out in the backyard. He was gone. Of course, over the years, I had gotten different Transformers, with the Devastator gift pack and Jetfire being some of the best. But I'll never forget that day. The day my parents jipped me for $5. My mom probably spent that $5 on cigarettes. In any case, that was then, this is now. I've enjoyed this time I've spent with you, telling you about my first Transformer. I've got to go pack now. My parents and I are going mountain climbing this weekend, and I've got to bring the climbing equipment. I've only got enough professional equipment for me, so I bought some perfectly good harnesses I found at the thrift shop. I also grabbed an old rope that's been in my parents' garage since before I was born. After all, no reason to spend my hard-earned money on such expensive items. I mean, they're only my parents. Oh, one more thing, before I leave. If you have any kids and you hear them say,
"I want a Transformer!"
spend the extra lousy $5 for a decent transforming toy for them. Or else they might just take you mountain climbing one day with a 50-year-old rope. This is your friendly neighborhood mop boy saying,
"Every time I get set to move my cable relay, something happens. This jungle humidity has given me a cramp in my chronometer. And my pulleys are squeaking again. You know what a blast like that does to your sequential camshaft. I'm talking vibration. And then there's a tremor in my gyroscope, too, that's making me very dizzy."
Hello everyone, this is RatTrap007 coming at you with another review. I decided to review an old G1 episode for this week's show. I chose to review Prime Target. The story begins with a top-secret Russian jet patrolling the Arctic. A sub pops up through the ice and shoots a harpoon into the jet and drags it underwater. This causes the subplot, no pun intended, of the story. The subplot is the Russians accused the U.S. of stealing the jet, and there is a threat of war. The jet was actually stolen by a big game hunter named Lord Chumley. He is big and chubby, and he looks like a big game hunter from a Doctari movie. He is aided by his butler, Whitmore. Whitmore, to me, looks like Riff Raff from the Rocky Horror Picture Show. Chumley has beaten about every big game challenge out there, except for the ultimate challenge, beating Optimus Prime. Bumblebee and Trax are out on patrol when they see a news bulletin about the jet hijacking. They then notice Astrotrain and Blitzwing. They chase the two Decepticons into the back alley, where the triple changers turn out to be holograms. The two Autobots then get captured by Chumley and Whitmore. Then it cuts back to the Ark, where we find about a dozen of the Autobots watching a soap opera called As the Kitchen Sinks. The soap opera is interrupted by a special report. The Autobots all groan about missing their soap whenever they hear about the special report. Prime notices that Trax and Bumblebee aren't back yet. He and the others then go in search of the two. The Autobots fall one at a time into Chumley's traps. Some of the traps are quite ingenious. Here's how the various Autobots were captured. Jazz was forced off the road into a fake car wash. Beachcomber stopped at a toll booth, paid the toll, and was starting to drive off. When it clamped onto his back end, he tells him not to be greedy, and two arms come up from the side and capture him. Grapple gets a giant steel cage dropped on him, and he's hauled away. Blaster is picked up by giant hands from a billboard, forced to transform into the boombox mode, and then he's captured. Inferno is tricked into responding to a fake fire, then a hose wraps around him, and he's caught. Prime then recalls all the others back to base. Then Prime receives a message from Lord Chumley. All the Autobots are in torture devices. Chumley challenges Prime to come and rescue them alone. Prime accepts this challenge. Megatron has also heard the message. Megatron is intrigued by Lord Chumley. He says that he is quite brilliant for a flesh creature. Starscream retorts with, especially since he has done more in 2 days than you did in 2 years. Now that, my friends, is an insult. Megatron then orders Blitzwing and Astrotrain to tail Prime. Chumley springs a few traps on Prime, but Prime defeats them all. Blitzwing and Astrotrain then spot Prime and start to tail him. Prime comes up to a trap with a girl crying, and she's shackled to a big metal block. Prime looks at it for a second, then says, "Not today, Chumley," and walks off. The two Decepticons wonder why he didn't rescue the girl. Blitzwing picks her up, telling her not to cry. Well, just at that moment, the block clamps to his leg and covers him in a green goo. Astrotrain miserably fails at trying to get him out of it. Prime turns around and then says one of my favorite lines.
Amazing. A booby trap that actually catches boobies.
Astrotrain then proceeds to follow Prime. Prime is attacked by a large mechanical scorpion. Prime is starting to get the upper hand, then Astrotrain blasts him from behind. Astrotrain then tries to recruit Chumley. Chumley is ticked off at Astrotrain because he robbed him of getting his prize. So he captures Astrotrain, and he leaves Prime for dead. He tells Astrotrain that he robbed him of his prize. Then Prime wakes up and is seriously ticked off at this point. He gets his foot caught in a large bear trap. Chumley is delighted that he can still kill Prime. Then Optimus just rips open the trap, tosses it in the air, and blasts it with his gun. Next, he runs into a robotic Black Widow spider. He tears a few limbs off, then he gets it to bite its own leg. The venom kills it. But Prime just keeps coming. Chumley is tricked by the Decepticons into releasing them, saying that they will help him defeat Prime. As soon as they're released, they start to torture him by trying to step on him. At that moment, the Autobots come charging in, and the two Decepticons flee. The episode ends with Chumley found tied to the nose of the stolen jet at a Russian airbase. And then the war is averted. Me? I love this episode. This is the ultimate Prime episode. He comes off as a major badass. It also had a good bit of humor, such as the Autobots watching the soap opera and Blitzwing getting himself caught in an obvious trap. I give this episode an A+. It is one of the best episodes of G1, in my opinion. This is Rattrap 007, signing off.
My first Transformer was broken. No, really. He was Mirage, and he was purchased from a local toy store. I was 5 years old. The world and everything in it was my oyster. With tiny yet eager hands, I tore into the packaging, disregarding the secondary market value that it would have 16 years later. I tore into it like an orange being shed of its peeling. With great satisfaction, I reached the juicy innards. Mirage, a blue and white IndyCar. Oh, how sweet it was. Without looking at the instructions, I was, after all, illiterate. I began transforming him. And snap! At his waist, his body was broken, along with my heart. Who knew that all these years later that I would still be in love with the Transformers? With Mirage, many friendships would begin, as would many adventures. And, in a way, Radio Free Cybertron started out with Mirage. It started out broken.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, Radio Free Cybertron. Happy birthday to you. Ahaha. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Ahaha. Happy birthday to you. Ahaha. Happy birthday. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday. Yes. Ahaha. Ahaha. I'm the man. Yes. Ahaha. Yes, I will. Now, before me.
My first Transformer. You know, guys, I don't exactly remember what my first Transformer was precisely. I do remember that probably based on memories, it was either Optimus Prime or Soundwave. I think it was Soundwave, although I really can't remember exactly when I got Soundwave or when I got Optimus Prime. I do remember getting them both home. On separate occasions, of course, and I only remember Soundwave as far as opening the package and playing with him that first few moments. Other than that, I don't remember having Soundwave at all, besides, I think when I was 12, finding his broken carcass in the back of my closet, which is kind of sad. The G1 Optimus Prime, my first Optimus Prime, I do remember buying him at a department store called Best. And my mother basically having a stroke over the price, which was around $25, which was a lot. And it's still a lot, if you think about it, for a toy. I remember playing with him a lot. In fact, I remember having that toy up at least through buying Wheelie and Blur, because I remember playing with those three toys together. Also, I think that shows that G1 Prime was pretty durable. I mean, as a kid, I played with my toys pretty rough. I mean, Grimlock went through the sandbox. Blur and Wheelie got banged up pretty bad. My Jazz hit the water in the bathtub several times, took a dive. Rust everywhere, broken windshields, busted gears, loose joints, you name it. They got it. And I guess I wouldn't have it any other way. I guess that's probably why I do like Transformers so much as an adult now, because I got so much enjoyment out of them as a kid. The toys were durable, relatively speaking. Of course, now, you know, their head pops off, you pop it back on. If Jazz's head pops off, you go buy another Jazz. My first Transformer was probably Soundwave. My favorite Transformer of all time would probably be the Trypticon that I got for Christmas of 86, I believe. I love that toy, and it was fun getting a Transformer for Christmas every year for at least 3 years in a row. I always got a City Base. The first time I got a Transformer for Christmas, I think it was, God, I can't remember. I think it was a trio of Dinobots, actually. I know I got Grimlock, Slag, and Snarl 1 year, and then Triptychon, and then Scorponok. Those were the best of times for toys, at least for me. I mean, those were the Christmases that I really did look forward to. That I would come to the tree and see that huge box of Transformers, and everything was all right with the world. So, my first Transformers were some of the best Transformers for my life, and I think, and I hope, that Transformers continue to give kids the same kind of enjoyment that I get out of them. Today, I get a different kind of enjoyment out of them. I get the satisfaction of knowing that my memories will never die, and that I have physical representations of all those fond memories of my childhood. I hope that today's kids get the same amount of enjoyment, get the same enjoyment out of Beast Wars, Beast Machines, whether I like them or not is irrelevant. If somebody out there likes them, if a kid gets a smile when he buys a toy, that's all that matters. That's all that mattered to me when I was a kid, and that's still at the heart of Transformers.
News. News from Cybertron. Yes. As reported last week on Radio Free Cybertron, the election would be resolved this week. We kind of called the election too early. We apologize for this, but it's not our fault, really. Moonbase 3 is recounting its votes due an inordinate amount of the votes cast going to Wheelie. According to a 1989 Moonbase 3 ruling, nobody can vote for Wheelie for any reason. Al Gore is demanding for the votes to be recounted, as those votes will surely have gone to him, analysts say. Well, I say free.
Hello, this is Alex.
You are hearing me talk.
I was asked by Brian Kelly to help with this segment, even though I rarely do anything for the show anymore. My first Transformer was Rodimus Prime. I got him from my brother. He was a good Transformer, but he didn't live up to the standards set by other figures. My second one was Ironhide, and after getting him, I just stopped collecting for a while.
And this is Radio Free Cybertron with 3 out of 4 of the members of ColdHardSlag.com. Wonderful site. I'm sure you've heard me mention it before. Go ahead, introduce yourselves.
Well, hi, my name is Tim. I am the webmaster, also known as Mr. Me. I want to say hi to everybody. So, hi.
I'm Heath. I'm the, also known as Nightlife. I do the market watches y'all have probably heard of, and I'm the one that spends countless amounts of my paycheck calling around to all these Canadian actors asking for interviews for our website.
And I'm JD, also known as Unicron Spawn, also known as JDale, and I do toy reviews and graphics.
And Lori couldn't be here because she is about 100 miles southwest of us, and she's here in spirit, though.
Wonderful. Okay, well, you've already just sort of skipped ahead there for me. I was going to ask you what you do, but there's really no point to elaborate on it because you just made that You just made that crystal clear. So, first, tell me about ColdHardSlag.com.
Okay, what do you want to know? Do you want to know, like, the history? Do you want to know what we're working on right now?
I want to know the whole shebang.
Okay.
Just start from the beginning.
Okay, Tim, you want to pick up on it, or do you want me to?
Sure, I'll go ahead.
Okay.
I'll tell my version of it, and you can correct me if I, you know, muddle any of the facts here.
Okay.
Well, we started off in March as a website, you know, before, me and Heath and Lori, we had toyed around with the idea of putting together some sort of fan fiction type cartoon because, Heath does some pretty interesting voices and Lori can draw and I can do some sort of, music stuff, in my spare time. So we thought, we'd try to combine those and make some sort of a comic or a cartoon out of it. But after we realized how insanely time-consuming that would be, we decided to go with something just a little bit, more reasonable, and we decided to put together kind of a fan site to showcase all this stuff because, everybody else and their dog was doing it, so we jumped on the bandwagon. And, really, we were trying really hard to come up with a name for the site because we wanted something original and something kind of off the wall too, that kind of, you know, offbeat, so we, you know, didn't seem too serious about it. And Heath was always going around misquoting Rhinox, saying, you know, that's a cold hard slag, stuff like that. So, you know, after, you know, typing in about 50 million different words in a WHOIS search engine thing on network solutions to see if the domain had been taken, that had finally come up and, you know, as untaken, so we decided to register that and go with that.
Let's see here. Tim and I, we, like, live at IHOP. I mean, if IHOP is, like, the place for us. If I'm not at home or work or we're working on the site in Tim's dorm room, we're probably at IHOP just brainstorming ideas. And one night, me and Tim were just sitting around IHOP, and this kind of started with me like 2 years ago. I had this job working in downtown Oklahoma City at this communications company, and I would work 12 hours a night, and it would just be me in the office, and I was like the file guy. I mean, I would come in, they would have like this huge batch of paperwork. They would leave me about 2 hours worth of work to do on a 12-hour shift, and I had T1 access with no firewall. So, and I'd never heard of the internet. I'd used it once or twice. I had no email, and here I'm in like my first year of college. I'm the most technologically non-advanced person on the planet. And so I would just get on the internet, and I'd found Yahoo, and I'd, you know, surf all the products that I liked, Reebok.com, Nike.com, Jinko.com. And one night, just for the heck of it, I went to Yahoo, and I was like, I used to play with those Transformers. And so I typed it in, and boom. You know, if you've ever been to Yahoo and typed in Transformers, you know how many sites that must have pulled up. And so this was probably around February of 98. And so I just started surfing Transformer sites, and I found a couple sites that had lots of videos you could download, and I found a site that had, like, episode synopses. And one night I found BotCon, and I printed out the form, and I saved up for, like, 2 weeks and sent off my pre-registration, and I took the week off for BotCon 98, flew out there, met all the voice actors, went to the Friday night script reading, and it was weird because I didn't know anything about Beast Wars at this time. All I knew of is I was kind of re-educating myself on all the Generation 1 stuff. And so here, I'm sitting in a room with Gary Chalk, Scott McNeil, David Kay, Susan Blue, I have no idea who the hell any of them are, and everyone is just, like, oogling over all these guys, and I was, you know, like, for example, if you've ever read the script for that Friday night gig with 98, when David Kay comes out and he starts off with "Excellent, yes," and Scott McNeil pipes up his rat trap and is like, "Oh, second line, I won," and oh, who's Pterosaur? Parker? Yeah, Doug Parker, I think. And he like, you know, slaps it, and I'm just sitting here totally lost, not understanding any of these little jokes that are being thrown around inside the script. And so I come back, and I'm just on this huge Transformers kick, and I try and get Tim in on it. And this is sacrilegious. None of y'all go lynching Tim now, but Tim just would not get into it. I tried to convince Tim to go to BotCon 8 with me, and he was like, "Transformers, those are for kids, man."
Yeah, it was too much money to go to BotCon.
But he just didn't get into it, And then finally, Tim just, he was like, "Dude, this thing is really cool." And so we were sitting around IHOP one night, and I was just joking around. I was like, "Yeah, we ought to start a website about Transformers." And Tim was like, "Well, yeah." And Tim and I are both like perfectionists in that, you know, neither one of us want to move on anything unless we're going to nail it and be the best at it. And so I was kind of afraid to launch a Transformer site because I was like, "Well, you know, what are we going to offer? You know, everybody's got fanfics, everybody's got videos, everybody's got all this stuff." And Tim's like, "Well, we'll just go ahead and start a site and we'll work on it from there." So I jokingly said, "Hey, we could call it coldheartslag.com." And Tim was like, "Yeah, whatever." And then he calls me up like 2 weeks later one night while he's at work. He's like, "All right, we're a website." And I was like, "Excuse me?" He's like, yeah, check it out. And I went there, and he'd kind of had a beta version up. And I took a look at it, and that's where we started from there.
Yeah, it was kind of interesting. You know, we spent a lot of, we do still spend a lot of time at IHOP discussing ideas. In fact, you know, we were there until about 4 this morning. And, you know, it's where our best ideas come from. And, you know, pretty much we kind of, you know, just sailed along for about a month or so, I'd say. You know, our big accomplishment was being linked on Ben Yee's page. had us pumped for a while. Got us a lot of hits.
Which I have yet to do.
The price guide came along.
Yeah.
The price guide was kind of... This is basically how our site works. I do not know HTML. Tim and JD know HTML, so does Lauren. So we'll all be sitting around at IHOP, and I'll say, guys, I just had this really cool idea.
And then we all groan and slap our heads and say,
And they're like, all right, Heath, what's your freaking idea this time? And I'll give them my idea, and they're like, that's a really cool idea. And I'm like, great, when can y'all have it done? Because I don't know any of the programming or anything that's behind this. I'm just, you know, the token male or whatever. But in addition to collecting Transformers, I've also collected Spawn. I'm a big Spawn fan since probably my sophomore year in high school. And I had, back in high school, I'd taken Q-Basic computer programming class, and for a project, I had thought about doing some type of database price guide for Spawn toys. And I had tried to write the code, could never figure out how to do it, and I just one day, it'd be cool if I did this. And so I kind of pitched the idea to Tim. It's like, what if we did an interactive price guide? We take values from Lee's Action Figure News and Toy Review, and we just update the database every month, and you can do, an interactive thing. And look on Tim's face. I mean, it's like God telling Moses to lead the Jews out of Egypt. He's just like, do you have any idea how difficult that's going to be? And I was like, well, I mean, it's an idea. And about 2 weeks later, Tim calls me up. He's like, all right, I've got, 1984 series done. And I, logged on and was kind of beta testing it for him. And it just, from there, it was just a matter of how long it took him to program it, and then, boom, the price guide was up.
Yeah, I've learned that Pearl is my friend.
Yeah.
Pearl is my friend. But seriously, I mean, the price guide was, one of the things I think that really helped us out quite a bit, because surfing around the internet, you know, there's really no, site that has, a definitive list of all the Transformer toys, that stays updated and, kind of helps you calculate, a general guideline of what you might expect to pay. And I really try to focus that it is a guideline. It's not, something set in stone. You can't say, well, this is worth this according to this magazine, so I will only pay this. You have to really, judge that to kind of guess the kind of mentalities that these toy sellers are going to have towards, what prices they're going to be expecting, and, try to use that to help your haggling abilities, I guess.
Yeah, we had kicked around the idea of doing an eBay price guide, but the prices on eBay fluctuate so much, it would just be impossible. You'd have to monitor
constantly,
every auction, every hour of every day, just to be, just to get close to being accurate. So
yeah, so here we are going along with this price guide and everything, and eventually we run into this weirdo on ATT called J-Dale at the time. And it turns out, he doesn't live too far from us and everything, so...
Well, kind of my story.
Yeah, I'll let you tell your story, AJ.
I'll tell my story. I got into Transformers late 97. I think I just missed BotCon 98 when I started to get interested in Beast Wars Transformers again. And I cut my teeth on DVD. I found his website, and I just thought it was the best thing like bread. And
it is.
So I saw that, and I got into toy reviews, and I got into doing all this stuff, and I made a website called Ages of Cybertron, and started going along with that, and that sucked. And it was an okay site, but the problem was it was the same thing as everything else that was out there. And then getting on ACT, I got into doing ATT Usu, which is a whole other project. But through that, and through other things that had happened to me, I saw a post that Tim had made about Transcend and Uncle Steve getting together. And this time, I was at my parents' house in Anadarko, which is about an hour southwest of Oklahoma City, in the middle of nowhere. And I couldn't go. I just couldn't go. And so, once I got back up the city, I was working at Toys R Us, and I had some people tell me about a really cool local toy store here in Oklahoma City called Toy Base 10. And that's where I ran into Heath. The first time I was in the store, I ran into Heath. And he was like, oh, yeah, we do, Cold Hard Slag. And I was like, yeah, I think I've seen that. And I was like, yeah, I do Agent Cybertron. And he was like, yeah, I think I might have heard that. And ATC Here's Who. And he was like, oh, you're J Dale. I was like, yeah, it's me. And so we kind of started talking through that. And I ended up meeting Lori first and then Tim. And I looked at the sign and I was like, you know what, guys, you got something really great here, but you're missing something. And they're like, what? And I said, toy reviews. You know, you've got this really cool price guide, but you don't have any toy reviews. And they were like, So that's kind of how I slid in the back door and got into Cold Hard Flag.
And now he's slowly taking over.
Yes, and now I'm taking over the world.
He's the one that came up with our awesome logo that we're using now. That's also on all of our t-shirts and coffee mugs and all that junk.
And you can get those from by going to coldhardslag.com. Plug.
Yep, and clicking on Cold Hard Gear.
Yeah. Was there anything in particular starting out that was just this major hurdle for you to get through, or was it basically, you know, you just slid into this, it's, you know, coasted through? Anything stand out that was any hurdle?
Well, from my end, as far as hurdles go, it's just really, you know, just kind of a technology type thing. My aim really is to focus on content over the design factor. You can have an awesome website and you can turn it into mush just by going overboard. Also, you know, I'll let you know a little secret, you know, RFC listeners or anybody else. If you go to the site dancingprimal.com, the little secret here, that this is a kind of a parody site that I put together. And I'm just parodying, you know, all the things that people do wrong in their design. And it's not really that, you know, it's just overboard. It's just, you know, But really, the thing is you need to, when you're putting together a site, you have to have some sort of content that will keep people coming to your site. You have to have a reason for having the site there.
Exactly.
And if you sit there and draw some pretty pictures in Photoshop or, you know, have an awesome look, I mean, that's okay, but it's, you know, not going to keep people coming back to your site, and it's not going to help you gain respect. And so, I mean, with this thing, I wanted to be as professional as I can about this, and, you know, with the four of us all together, I wanted to, you know, create kind of a community to contribute to the Transformers, the overall Transformers community online, and also to kind of, you know, gain a rapport with all these different, you know, sites that I respect as far as Transformers go, like RFC, and with, you know, Venue Site and the AllSpark, things like that. So the main hurdle is trying to, you know, stay focused on that as far as design, because, you know, we kind of got a lot of hand with our version 2. We, you know, started going with more graphics and slow down the page, and so, you know, with the version 3, I kind of wanted to get back to the basics and, you know, get over that hurdle.
You moved towards doing things like interviews and everything, and I know Heath is does a lot in that. Was there anything that, I mean, when we got the interview with Larry DiTilio, I am the biggest coward on earth. I mean, I don't ask people on the show. I mean, I let people ask me because I'm afraid of being rejected. And so you can imagine what it was like asking DiTilio.
Right.
How do you do that? I mean, how do you ask? I mean, all these people who are like gods to most trans fans. I mean, how do you, like, just approach them? I couldn't do that.
Well, it's funny you ask, because for starters, and I don't think I've ever told you this, your interview with DiTilio is probably what got me thinking about contacting everyone else for interviews.
Really?
Because, let's see here, where to start. JD got me started listening to RFC. The day we met, we were sitting there talking, he's like, yeah, I'm from Cold Hard Slag. Oh, really? Well, I run Ages of Cybertron. And we just started sitting there BSing about Transformer Science. And he was like, well, do you listen to Radio for Cybertron? And I was like, haven't caught that one. What's the URL? And so I came home that night and I listened to, like, everything in the archive. And I saw this thing about the Larry DiTilio interview. I was like, Larry DiTilio, isn't that like the guy that wrote Beast Wars or something? So I clicked on it and I sat there and I listened to it and I was like, well, these guys can do it. I mean,
yeah.
You know, you gotta be able to contact the actor somehow. And I started off, and I was like, well, now, if I was going to contact somebody, I mean, who would I contact? I figured, you know, Generation 1 actors would be, you know, they'd either be so old they couldn't remember doing Transformers, or else they make so much money now, like Frank Welker.
Yeah.
You know, the contacting Frank Welker would be an act of God, because he's just so busy doing all kinds of stuff that he probably wouldn't even have time to do an interview. But, so I decided that I was going to focus on Beast Wars actors. And so, one night, I'm just surfing around, and I guess the site had been up for about 3 months. We had launched the Price Guide. The Price Guide was a cool success. And I was thinking about the interview that you had done with Statilio, and I was like, you know, this would be really awesome content. You know, I mean, if as a trans fan, I would love to go to a site and be able to listen to an interview with David Kay or David Sobolov or Gary Chalk or whoever. And so I just set out, I just made a list out of people that were responsible for bringing us the Beast Wars. And I surfed into Mainframe's website, the company that produces Beast Wars, and they had one of those little info buttons like all websites have, you know, info@mainframe.com. And I was like, nah, what the heck? You know, like you, I hate rejection, but, you know, if I'm like a, if I walk into, like, class and, like, hit on a chick in class or something and she rejects me, I get laughed at in class. I have to see that chick again. If I call up somebody and ask them for an interview and they tell me no, they have no idea who I am. They'll never see me. No big loss. It's not like they're going to run into me at a Walmart next week and go, hey, you're that loser that asked me for an interview. And so, to me, the fear factor isn't as large. So I just clicked on the info button. The email thing popped up, and I just, like, to whom it may concern. You know, I have a Transformers website. Here's the URL. I want to interview some people responsible for bringing us Transformers. What can you help me with? And Mary Wellman herself responded to me. She was like, well, I'm the director of communications here. I really like the site. Let me know what I can do, and I'll be more than willing to help you out. And I was like, ha, cool. So I started off by interviewing Doug McKay, who is the senior animator of the Beast Wars project. And then we interviewed Mary Wellman. And then Tim and I were just dinking around on the internet one night. And Tim, where were we where we found Tilio's address?
Well, I knew that Larry had been posting to ATT in the past and everything. You know, I'd been lurking about the time that he'd just finished, you know, posting on ATT. And so I knew his address would be on Deja, deja.com. We'll plug for them. So I surfed over there, got his email address. This is kind of the funniest thing, because I was here at work. I was a security guard at the time. I had his email address in front of me. Heath was sitting there with me, and I got to ultra freak fanboy mode for the first time. First time of many, actually.
Yeah. I'll point that out.
I was like, I was like, oh my gosh, we got Larry to tell you his email address, so we get up. And so Heath eventually calmed me down and was like, yes, do it, send him an email. So we contacted Larry DiTilio. It turns out he's, like, the nicest guy on the planet.
Yeah, he is.
He hooked us up with Bob Forward, too. Bob Forward kind of had a falling out with some people on ATT. He was really kind of, you know,
leery about doing an interview.
So, you know, Bob Forward turned out to be, you know, in his emails, he's really kind of to the point, succinct and everything, but when he gives back an interview, my word, is he wordy.
Yeah.
But he's a really cool guy, and even sent us some pictures of him wearing our Cold Hard Psych t-shirts and everything. And but, you know, that, you know, was like the first evidence of my fanboyness, I guess, you know, also with the Gary Chalk interview, which I'm sure Heath will probably, you know, talk about later or something.
Yeah, we've the interviews that you guys hear and see on the site are pretty much what it was like interviewing. We wind up taking out some of the stammering and stuttering and everything. And we've all done it. I'm not pointing fingers at just Tim. JD's done it. I've done it. Lori's done it. The one that we really get Tim on is in the Gary Chalk interview. And of course, this is edited out of the one on the site. If you want, I can send you an MP3 of this. But when Gary Chalk points out that he was the one that did the voiceovers for the TV commercial for Generation 2. And he does his Transformers Generation 2. Tim was like, that was you? And when we went through and listened to the interview, I was like, that's got to go. I'm sorry. Tim was like, yeah, because I don't want to sound all fanboys.
Did that make the final interview?
Generation 2, the note on that?
Yeah.
I missed that.
That was my little, that was you, that what? Whole thing, you know. It sounded almost exactly like that, too.
Yeah.
I was pretty bad, but yeah, the questions in there, his answers in there, but not my little...
I must have been out of the room, because I've always suspected that was Gary Chalk.
Yeah, and even at BotCon, I think you can ask Delinda this, if he was at the panel about the 10 things you didn't know about Transformers mm-hmm. that was at BotCon this year, one of the things that they showed was, you remember that freaking space cube thing?
From G2, yeah.
From G2? They were showing a commercial with that, and you hear someone narrating it, and towards the very end, when he goes, Transformers Generation 2, I was like, wait a minute, that's Gary? And then, like, everyone realizes it at the same time, because you just look out across the room, and
yeah.
People are going, that was Gary Chalk.
That's awesome.
But, but the whole interview thing has just been one big hilarious ordeal because, let's see here, we Doug and Mary were no big deal. Larry DiTilio was funny because, while I won't give out his email address, I will say that it is, you can see him when he logs online through AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah.
And I put him on Tim and I put him on the buddy list, and probably about a week after we got the email address, we were online one night, Tim and I talking across Instant Messenger, and he logs on. And Tim's like, you ask him. And I was like, no, you ask him. He's like, no, 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 you ask him. And I was like, fine. He's like, no, wait, I want to ask him. And so Tim, like, just Tim's real not a big confrontationalist like you are. And so Tim is, like, writing out this email, and, or actually, no, I sent an email, first of all, because we wanted to make sure we got the email read. We weren't going to send this huge, long request for an interview to, you know, Frank the DiTilio guy that just happens to have a name like Larry DiTilio. But so I sent this email, and it was real short and concise. I said, are you the Larry DiTilio of Beast Wars fame? And I get an email back in like 3 minutes saying guilty as charged. And Tim and I just lost it. Tim was like, I'm gonna ask him for the interview. I was like, all right, go for it. And so Tim sends him the email address or the interview request. We do the interview with DiTilio, and when we're done, we're like, thanks for the interview. By the way, is there a way you can maybe hook us up with Bob Forward? And Bob wound up giving Tim an email, like, what, like 3 days later?
Yeah.
And we did an interview with him, and then we were like, thanks for the interview. Could you hook us up with Simon Furman? And we've never heard anything back.
I think the thing on all the interviews we do, though, is that, for one, we try to conduct them very professionally, and we try to do them really well. And then when we're looking at who we're going to interview, the worst thing that can happen is that they can say no. And so we just kind of say, well, the sky's the limit, we'll try and get whoever we can, but we just try to conduct ourselves very professionally, and that seems to go really well.
Yeah, and then there was the Gary Chalk, which to me is kind of like, before Gary Chalk, all the interviews had been conducted via email. We hadn't actually talked on the phone to a soul. And on email, you can be really impersonal,
yeah.
You know, because the person on the receiving end doesn't know what you look like, anything about you. It's just like having a pen pal. Well, after we'd interviewed Mary Wallman, I had sent her an email, and I was like, how can I get in contact with, and I rattled off Gary Chalk, Vina Sturzo, Scott McNeil, and David Kay. And, I mean, I was like, you know, if you can't help me, that's no big deal. I really appreciate what you've done for me so far. But if you can't help me, great. And I got this email back that had the agency phone numbers for the four actors. So I just, one day, just spent 20 minutes, and I called each individual actor, or I called their agents, and I got voicemails on all of them. And I was just, you know, hi, my name's Heath, I'm from coldheartsflag.com, it's a Transformers website. I would really like to get the opportunity to interview whoever for my website. We've done interviews so far via email. I would really like to do one over the telephone and record it, if that's okay. And I'd really appreciate that. Thanks for your time. And didn't hear anything back for like 2 months. Well, so then I started a job at Gateway Tech Support. And I'm studying for the final test to get out on the tech floor one night. And my phone rings. And I look down, and it's like the 604 area code. And I was like, who on God's earth do I know in the 604 area code? So I pick it up. I'm like, hello? And Heath? Yeah. Hi, this is Gary Chalk. and my jaw hit the floor. I was just, Mr. Talk, David K, Transformers, that's pretty much how it went for about 3 minutes. And, I finally, he's like, okay, now calm down, okay, now. And my big fear was I didn't have any interview questions for him yet. I didn't want to sit down and, like, write out an interview and then never get a hold of somebody. And so I was like, oh, my God, do I have to interview you right now? I mean, is this my only chance? He's like, I tell you what are you doing tomorrow? And I was like, interviewing you? He was like, all right, what time could I call you back? I'm like, oh, you're even willing to work with me on this. I was like, I tell you what, how about I call you? That way we foot the bill, and I'll have some interview questions for you. So I hung up with Gary Chalk, and I just kind of had to stand there for a minute and just grasp the reality of who I just talked to. And I called Tim, and I was like, Tim, I just talked to Gary Chalk. And Tim's like, nah, you're messing with me, man. I was like, no, seriously, I just talked to Gary Chalk. And he's like, you're not kidding me, are you? I was like, no, I'm not kidding you. We need to write some interview questions. So me, him, and JD stayed up, like, all night at Denny's writing interview questions for Gary Chalk. And Tim, Lori, and JD, they all came down to my house, and we jacked in phones all over my house. And we all just sat down. I printed up a sheet. And this has kind of become the standard of what we do. I printed up a big form of interview questions, and we just circled which ones we wanted to ask. Ran through it a couple times, and then I called them up, and I, you know, introduced the other three, and we just sat down, and, you know, the rest is history.
Wow, that's neat. Where do you see coldhardslag.com going in the next year?
Wow, the next year. You know, I hopefully we can continue on as we have been, you know, just kind of building up kind of the rapport with the, you know, various Transformer sites online, you know, kind of helping people out when we can as far as that goes, and I don't know, just providing more content, more interviews. As far as, like, other plans go, I mean, I plan on getting the price guide rewritten in a MySQL database instead of flat file like it's written now. And also getting on the wireless web like we have our site now. So that way, you know, if you're at BotCon, you're in the dealer's room, and you have your cell phone, you know, you can, you know, check some prices before you buy or something. As far as interviews go, we plan on interviewing anybody we can, anybody who will let us interview them. You know, we do our site of the month interviews. We do, you know, anybody, G1, Beast Wars, Beast Machines. So hopefully we'll get a lot of those. Hopefully we can do that. And as far as I know, unless Heath has any other great ideas, that's pretty much how it's going to be.
Nah, I'm running out of great ideas. The past few great ideas I've had kind of suck.
Is JD there?
Yeah. The latest thing I'm working on is we're expanding into, right now Heath does the market watches for basically the transformer market in general, which is just the average second market for transformers. What I'm going to be working on is doing a separate sort of market area for eBay, just looking at eBay, what's selling on eBay, what's going on with that, and actually we're hoping to launch that really soon.
Well, this is sort of off topic, and I'm like the least likely person to do this, if you see me on ATT, but, you know, I've always been a fan of the ATT Who's Who. In fact, when I first got to talking with J-Dale there, I was like, I'm a fan of your site. And he's like, are you kidding? Are you joking with me? He's like, no, I'm serious. Like, wow. But I've always liked that. And are you planning on expanding that, or do you plan on trying to get? I haven't seen it mentioned on the group in a while, and there are a ton of people on ATT now. I think it would be, you could capitalize on that.
I've kind of been absent from ATT lately. Not only for been kind of busy in school, but also working with Cold Hard Flag, in particular 3.0, getting all the updates for that. So yes, there are big plans for ATT to do right now. Tim is being gracious enough to work with me on it. As everybody knows, it's now attwhoswho.com. Which was really great. I'm going through the same provider that we're going through for Cold Hard Flag. And Tim's helping me. We're writing ATT more used, ATT who's you more friendly, user friendly. We're trying to expand where you have updatable profiles that you can manage on your own, and also a better interface and searchable and everything. That's in the horizon. That's in the future. As far as when that's coming out, just have to watch and see. But I haven't forgotten about it. It has kind of gone on the back burner a little bit, but I will be working on it, and I'm hoping to make more of a presence on ATT again. In fact, I made a post just recently about some controversy that happened this week. So.
I saw that. Actually, you know, we need as many positive things we can on ATT now, especially, oh boy, ATT. I mean, I've caused a lot of it, but it's more of a reactionary thing. But anything like that, it's good, you know, helps, and looking forward to seeing more of that. And now, finally, as I've already mentioned in the show, or actually as I will mention, because the show hasn't been recorded yet doing this before, BotCon 2001 is about 3 hours from my house, and I'm hoping to do something with RSC, something pretty big, which we haven't decided on yet. But I was wondering if you guys will be there, because I'd love to see you.
Definitely. Yeah, I'm definitely going to be. Me going to BotCon this year, I almost didn't go, and like 3 weeks before BotCon happened, Ian Corlett emailed us because I it's kind of like Gary Chalk. I called him, we didn't hear, and then wham, Tim gets an email saying, hi, sorry I haven't gotten back with y'all. And so I, like, blew off paying off credit cards to go to go to BotCon to get the interview in. But now that I know that, you know, now that I've got months to save up and plan and look at, you know, whether or not I want to fly out there, JD and I have already talked about just making a road trip because it's, what is it, like a 20-hour drive?
21 hours. I looked it up on Yahoo the other day. 21 hours, Nashville in between.
So, I'm definitely going to go. I've already bought a laptop with the hopes that maybe we can set up a, you know, who knows, maybe we set up a booth at BotCon and put, you know, a version of Cold Hard Slag on the laptop so that people can come by. Those that don't know about the site can come by and just kind of look at it, navigate through it, see what we've got, and what have you. But, yeah, definitely. And be watching the Transformers Market Watch. I don't know if anybody caught it this year, but I posted just before BotCon some tips on how to buy Transformers in the dealer room. And I'll be republishing that in the Market Watch in June so that people that missed it this year, because I've got a lot of neat tricks. So that you don't wind up getting screwed over in the dealer room.
Yeah, Lori and I plan on going as well, tentatively. Most likely we will. I was asked by the people from WheezeBucket.com to kind of help them perhaps set up like a LAN party or something like that at BotCon this year. So if that's still on, then, you know, if the plans are still the same, then we'll be doing that. And, you know, so Lori and I plan to be there. So we'll be there.
Yeah, and they might be married at the time, too.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Wow. That's
yeah, the date is set, and BotCon's after that, so. It'd be like,
well, the date's not set yet.
Well, it's probably going to be before BotCon, though.
Yeah, before BotCon, hopefully.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Thanks.
I had no clue. Oh, well, looking at the clock, we're pretty much out of time here.
Okay.
So I'd like to thank you guys for doing the interview with us on Radio Free Cybertron.
Anytime. Thank you.
Oh, well.
My first transformer was a multi-voltage, consumer-grade AC to DC bidirectional, low-impedance transformer, model number HP03568798L14R. It was a very fine transformer. I still have it to this day. I need it to live.
Radio Free Cybertron. The first. The best.
Hello everyone, this is Turin. My first Transformer was Starscream, actually. And I remember, it wasn't a good experience, I have to say. Not that Starscream's not cool. But for starters, I put the stickers on wrong. Let me see if I even remember how I did it. I put them on in some really weird way. It was the stickers on the wings that I put on incorrectly. I didn't put them on along the edges like they were supposed to. I started on one edge and then went to the middle or something. And by the time I was done, it basically looked really lame. The other thing that wasn't very fun was that I broke the missiles getting them off that stupid little tree. I don't remember how old I was, but I wasn't old enough to be trusted to have my own X-Acto knife. So I just bent them back and forth, except that when they came out, they broke off the tips, the part that holds it in the launcher. The ones I broke off were the long missiles, or the null rays. So all I had left was the little tiny short guys, which I assume are the cluster bombs. That was all I had left, and I didn't have the missiles. And you have no idea, considering that Starscream never used the little tiny short guys in the show, it was quite annoying. The other thing that sort of annoyed me was that sometimes even the little cluster bombs didn't stay in very well. You had to rotate them around to get them to stay in all the way. I remember thinking that I was just about the cleverest person in the world because I figured out that you could put the landing gear inside the cockpit, which wasn't in the instructions. And then, of course, I realized that everybody else figured out the exact same thing, so it wasn't particularly clever, I guess. At the time, I thought it was. I like Starscream, the character, and I like the toy. I mean, it looks neat and everything. It was just sort of frustrating because even as a little kid, I really didn't like the idea of leftover parts. The idea that when you transform to robot mode, you have to add the fists, or you have to remove the little gray stabilizers. I always found that very annoying, even as a child. So I didn't like them in robot mode quite as well. And again, I didn't have the null rays. So his robot mode, with the cluster bombs in robot mode on his arms, it didn't look real great. I don't think I put the stickers on his eyes very well, but I don't think I'm alone in that. I think a lot of people screwed that one up. Other than that, he's a very cool toy. Very good jet mode, and a decent enough robot mode. If the null rays aren't broken, his arm guns are actually really cool. So Starscream's a good toy. And even though I had, there was a few glitches in the system, I liked the show enough, and I liked the toy enough to continue on watching the show and getting more toys. So that was my first Transformer, Starscream, and unfortunately, I got rid of him when I got rid of all of my Transformers, like an idiot. I gave him to the disadvantaged children. Because I was trying to be nice and generous and helpful to others and all that nonsense. And, of course, you know, if I could do it over again, I'd say, you know, sod the children, you know, I want my toys. No. I maybe would have bought them some brand new toys and kept my old ones or something. But anyway, so even though I had some problems with them, it was certainly very memorable, and unlike some of my Transformers, like Soundwave or Thrust, I never had. I sort of inherited my brother's, I didn't exactly steal them, but he sort of didn't use them anymore. He never said I could have them, but he quit using them, so I appropriated them. But Soundwave or Thrust, for example, I never had, except through my brother. Well, I have them now, but as a child I never had. But Starscream was mine. My, you know, very first, you know, personal Transformer. And, you know, they'll always be a special place in my heart for Starscream. So that's my story. Those little gray stabilizers are really annoying in robot mode, by the way. See ya.
Radio Free Cybertron presents Transformers, the movie, Part 3. Starring Brian Kilby as Galvatron, Turin as Spike Witwicky, Zabavor as everyone else, with special surprise guest stars.
Transformers! While the funeral dirge for Optimus Prime plays on, the Decepticons retreat from the inferno that is Autobot City.
You better jettison some way or we'll never make it to Cybertron. Well, we'll make it to Cybertron, we just won't get there safely. See, we won't be able to stop once we get there. Basically, we'll be splattered into tiny little Decepticons. I think the key idea to remember is that if we don't jettison some weight, we'll all be killed.
Are you finished?
Yes.
Besides, you meant mass, didn't you?
Well, yeah.
Fellow Decepticons, Astrotrain has requested that we lighten our load.
Actually, it's quite a bit more urgent than a request.
Oh, shut up, you fool.
I say it is survival of the fittest.
Do I hear a second on that?
Aye.
Sure.
What was the question again?
Any opposed? Nay.
No.
Has anybody seen my left arm?
The eyes have it!
Please, no!
No!
Damn, there's no place like home.
Hey, I can see my house from here.
Bye-bye,
don't
so
forget to ride.
See ya. Would want to be ya.
Oh, Megatron. So, Megatron. Megarino. Meganatrissimo. How's everything?
Wait, I still function.
Not for long. Oh, how it pains me to do this.
Wait.
Hasta la vista, Meggie.
Wait.
As Megatron has, well, abdicated, I suppose that makes me the new leader, being next in the chain of command and all.
Not so fast, Starscream. The Constructicons will devastate us, the most powerful robot. Assuming you don't count Brutus or Minosaur, we should rule.
Soundwave superior, Constructicons inferior, and stupid, and ugly.
Who are you calling inferior? Nobody would follow an uncharismatic boar like you.
Hey, nobody calls Soundwave uncharismatic.
Decepticons, please! Don't let this degenerate into violence.
Megatron.
Huh?
What's up?
Who said that?
I am Unicron.
Show yourself.
We hardly know each other. Now pay attention. I have summoned you here for a purpose.
Nobody summons Megatron.
Wrong.
You dare to mock me?
Yes.
State your business.
This is my command. You are to destroy the Autobot Matrix of Leadership.
What's that?
No one can be told what the Matrix is. You have to see it for yourself. It is the one thing, the only thing, that can stand in my way. Barring any planet-destroying battle stations from another universe.
You have nothing to fear. I have already crushed Optimus Prime with my bare hands.
No, you didn't.
Well, just about.
Afraid not.
Well, Slaggety's dead at any rate, and the Matrix died with him.
Wrong. The Matrix has been passed to their new leader, Ultra Magnus. Destroy it for me.
Why should I? What's in it for me?
Your life.
And?
I will provide you with a new body, and new troops to command.
And?
And nothing. You belong to me now.
I belong to nobody!
Fine. By all means, proceed on your way to oblivion.
And?
Am I not speaking clearly or something?
Wait! Okay, I accept your terms. I accept!
Excellent. Behold, Galvatron. And these shall be your minions. Scourge, the tracker, and his huntsmen. The sweeps.
A glowing fog surrounds the Decepticons, turning Thundercracker into Scourge. Yes, Thundercracker.
Cyclonus, the warrior, and his armada. Whoops. Okay, just Cyclonus then.
I will rip open Ultramagnus and any Autobot who gets in my way. The Matrix shall be destroyed. Okay, then. Let's all get acquainted. I, as you know, used to be Megatron. You? Cyclonus, is it? How are you, then? You were Skywarp a minute ago, weren't you?
I would prefer to carry out our mission, mighty Galvatron.
Go. Destroy the Autobot Matrix. Of leadership, that is.
Come along, Scourge.
Scourge thinks we should go to Cybertron and teach Starscream a lesson.
Yes. To Cybertron!
Go. Destroy the Matrix.
This is bad comedy.
I know you are, but what am I?
You're a fool!
I know you are, but what am I?
You'll pay for your insolence!
Wait a minute. You're not Megatron in a new body by any chance, are you?
Here's a hint!
Now, that stings! Galvatron! I don't think Unicron hooked up your weapons correctly. Let me take a look. I think I can give you more power. Huh? Okay. Try it now. Wait, wait! Oh, yeah!
Will anyone attempt to fill his shoes?
Well, actually, I think I should be the next leader.
Will anyone attempt to fill his shoes?
I think that...
anyone else?
What do you say his name was?
Rumble, it's me, Megatron. I got a new body. I'm chosen to go by the name Galvatron from now on.
What the smeg is that?
Well, it looks like a giant planet about to kill us. Maybe you'd better radio for help.
Talk to me, Earth. We got a situation out here. Roger me, welcome me, anything. Hello, hello, Earth.
I'm picking up a faint signal. I'm also getting a distress call from Moonbase 1.
This is Jazz! Ginormous weird-looking planet showed up in the suburbs of Cybertron! And it's attacking Moonbase 1!
I think we're on our own! Let's get out of here! Fuel! Check! Navigational computer! Online! Fuzzy dice! Check! Hit it!
Yes! We're not getting away!
Thank you, Captain Obvious! Throw some stuff out! Maybe with less weight, we can break free!
You mean mass, don't you?
Yeah, whatever!
No, not my Four Seasons CDs!
Meanwhile...
This is Spike and Bumblebee, up here on Moonbase 2.
This thing, this monster planet just ripped the first moon to shreds!
And it's heading this way. We'll try and slow it down, but I think we have about as much chance as something really unlikely. You better get here fast, because we're... Bumblebee, activate the explosives! If this doesn't stop it, nothing will. Short of some sort of Deus Ex Machina.
Nothing can go wrong now!
Look!
It isn't even scratched! Well, that's just great! What are we supposed to do now, huh? What are we gonna do? Game over, man! Game over!
We're being sucked into it!
We're all gonna die!
How dare Unicron! Cybertron and all its moons! Whole universe, for that matter, as I said on occasion, belong to me!
Oh, yeah?
Now remember, Sandcastlebot belongs to him.
I belong to nobody! No. I will obey, Unicron. You scumbag. Decepticons! To Earth!
I'm hanging with the wrong crowd!
Radio Free Cybertron is not affiliated with Hasbro or Takara. Music from the Till All Are One CD used by permission of 3H Enterprises. Celebrity voices impersonated. Obviously.
Okay, so my first Transformer. Well, I was maybe 9 or 10, not sure which. And, well, I started watching the cartoon, the G2 cartoon. Yeah, you can stop laughing now. I don't know why everybody can't believe that. Everybody I tell cannot believe I actually got into the fandom through G2. Anyway, so I was at KB in the mall one day, and they had some Transformers for actually a decent price, which was amazing for KB back then. Amazing for KB now. Like $2.50, I think, for a couple mini bots. So I picked up Bumblebee and Sea Spray. I don't know why I chose them in particular. Cliffjumper was there too, but I didn't get him. I don't remember exactly what I was thinking when I grabbed them off the rack, but I know after I paid for them, we were driving back home, I just couldn't put them down in the car. They were the neatest little things back then. I still have Bumblebee somewhere. Well, I got some idea where he is. Sea Spray is sort of lost to time. So I continued collecting from there. Right in through Beast Wars. Well, Season 1 anyway. I bought 3 of the first Beast Wars toys. The Ultras, Optimus and Megatron, and Dinobot. Oh, they were neat. Although, at the time, I didn't really notice the improvements over the G1s. Well, that's another story. But eventually, Beast Wars Season 1 went to endless reruns, and kind of grew detached from the toys. Partly thanks to my father's doing, trying to get me away from buying toys. So, then, one year, I was at my grandmother's house for some function, I don't remember exactly what, and I had the TV on, and looky there, Transmetals, and a Fusor, too. Of course, I didn't know what they were called at the time. So as soon as we got back home, I started watching the show again. I still didn't collect the toys then, I was kind of afraid of my father's reaction if I wanted to start, and it actually wasn't until about the middle of Season 3 that I started buying the toys again. My second first Transformer was Transmetal 2 Dinobot. He's so cool. It was such an improvement over the original form. You could tell there was a lot of thought put into it. Just in that there wasn't so much extraneous kibble. I mean, at least this kibble actually had a function in the beast mode. Anyway, I still remember that day pretty clearly. I grinned. My father scowled. I giggled. My father grumbled. Oh, yeah. I had the look in my eye of a child at Christmas. My father had pink eye. I kid, of course. But it was very similar to something almost like that. But that's pretty much how my Transformers Renaissance, to use, I think, Turin's word, that's pretty much how that started up for me. And it's been nonstop ever since then. I got the online fandom to support me now when I ponder quitting, plus RFC here, and the support of my friends. And, well, I got constant shows now, and I actually know when new ones are going to start, or have a reasonable idea. So this time around, it doesn't look like I'm going to quit the fandom. The fandom would probably have to quit me. And that makes no sense, does it? Forgive me, it's early. I've just woken up a little while ago. So, that's my first Transformer, and this is Goldimus Prime for Radio Free Cybertron.
Shut up!